This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everyone! Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind! Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere! And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Sam McCabe, director of Loyola University, New Orleans Center for Entrepreneurship and Community Development. Sam joins us to talk about this year's New Orleans Entrepreneur Week, which is happening Monday, March 24th through Saturday, March 29th. Sam, welcome to the show. Sam, are you with us?
Hey, I apologize. Yeah, I had David Bowie still going. How are you guys doing today?
Doing well, Sam. So if you would, for the benefit of the listening audience, if you would describe what New Orleans Entrepreneur Week is all about.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is NOE's 14th year. It's a free and week-long celebration across the city of everything amazing about entrepreneurship and small business and startups and everything, you know, highlighting everything that's going on right now, how this ecosystem has really grown and how the community here has really, really blossomed over the last couple of decades, and then really highlighting too what's next and what's coming in the future.
And this event goes from the 24th of March through the 29th, Monday through a Saturday. But you guys have events all over the city, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's between some lead partner events that are being hosted by universities and like ourselves and Tulane and Xavier and some other folks. And then there's also new NOE in Your Neighborhood events that happen across the week. There's 35 plus of those and 10 of the lead partner events on top of our two-day summit that happens here at Loyola University next Thursday and Friday. So really any day from Monday through Saturday, if you check out our schedule at noew.org, you can find something that you can get excited about and something that you can attend, and pretty much all of it's free. So,
yeah, so most anyone can go, but
Yes.
You know, what type of person really is going to get the most out of this?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, this year we are really, our goal is really to be this front door to entrepreneurship and to ideas and really, really growing that community here in New Orleans. So anyone who's either running a small business, interested in starting one, if you're looking for an investor for your business that you've started, or if you are an investor looking for your next big opportunity, that this is a great place to start, right? We have a lot of business leaders that are going to be on stage as well as attending throughout the week at different events going on. And then two, you know, we are on the summit especially is being hosted on Loyola's campus on Thursday and Friday next week. So we are really anticipating having a pretty solid group of students from both Loyola and Tulane, and as well as, you know, Xavier and UNO and other universities in the region attending a lot of these events as well.
So if you would talk about some of the highlight events that y'all are going to be hosting.
Absolutely. I mean, the biggest highlight is our 2-day summit that is happening here on campus at Loyola next Thursday and Friday. So kicking off a week from right now, actually, we'll have our keynote Thursday morning at 11 a.m. We'll have programming running on several stages on campus from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. all day on Thursday, as well as from 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. on Friday, the 28th. That is, you know, keynote speakers, industry panels, really great networking events, and a couple of really high-end pitch competitions as well. But on top of that, there's over 35 Knowy in Your Neighborhood events that are hosted by a variety of different partners. Those are going on Monday through Saturday. There's at least one or two every single day. And those are really those get a little bit more into the meat and potatoes and really help folks be a little bit more specialized and find some really specialized communities, right, for networking. And then, you know, part of that summit on Friday is the Idea Pitch competition, which we will be hosting here at Loyola, but is presented by the Idea Village, who is co-producing all of this content this year. That's going to feature some top startups. You know, it's going to be, if you're not familiar with entrepreneurship, it'll be like watching Shark Tank happen in real life, right? So with some really amazing...
It's Shark Tank on steroids. I'm going to tell you,
absolutely.
I've seen that competition. It's these young kids and the ideas that they come up with, these young entrepreneurs, I've never felt so stupid in my life. I mean, it's like,
oh, yeah.
It's like,
oh,
how did they come up with this?
I mean, absolutely. Like, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So you know, there's a couple of really great pitch competitions that'll be happening as well as part of the summit. We're also, you know, there's some of these lead partner events that are happening across town that are hosted by our friends at, you know, the Tulane Innovation Institute or GNO Inc. Especially, you know, they're hosting a recruitment event for tech talent on Tuesday night at NOLA Brewing, right, on the 25th. Mm-hmm. So, you know, whether you're looking to get involved in entrepreneurship in part of the community here, if you're looking for a new gig that might be with a small business or a startup, if you're looking to start your own startup or have an idea for a small business, you know, there's really something for everybody as part of this really great community event next week.
You know, Sam, one of the things that I found really incredible is that a number of stories told where, you know, young entrepreneurs really underestimated their capabilities starting out, right?
Sure.
As they worked through the process and they had access to some of the programs that so many fine folks like yourself and others have offered up in our city, they have come up with some of the most incredible ideas that didn't stay as an idea. It's actually implemented. It's up. It's working. You're seeing it around the country. The success is absolutely phenomenal. I mean, I get so excited when I see that.
Yeah, no, absolutely, and that's really one of the biggest goals with especially that 2-day summit here on campus, right? A lot of this programming is, you know, very curated to be really inspiring and to showcase, you know, what so many of these amazing entrepreneurs have come up with and how it really was. You know, we've got a whole stage on Friday that is just basically like TED Talk style founder stories, where we're hearing from founders from every industry you can imagine about how they even came up with their idea and the story that it's taken to get them from point A to point B, right? Because it is, every single one of these stories is different. No two of these entrepreneurs, no two of these startups are alike. And really, you know, taking into account their story and showcasing that for New Orleans and our community here and the world really to see. It's one of my favorite parts of this event. Yeah.
You know what I liked about it? It was a reaffirmation of the belief that you can do or be anything you want in your life in this country.
Absolutely.
And, you listen to these stories and it's like, wow. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. I don't mean to be overplaying this, but I forgot who it was that was in charge at the time. I said, I've never felt so stupid in my life. It was a good feeling. I mean, I was excited for them. I was excited for their success.
That's right. No, there's a bunch of content that's going on that we've curated across that 2-day summit and then really across the week too. That is, I mean, I don't know, some of these ideas that people are coming up with and then the fact that they're executing on them and then really like making it something so exciting for our city and for everywhere else. It's what really gets me excited about a lot of this, whether it's when I'm working with my students here at Loyola or working with our friends at the Idea Village to co-produce this event. And there's too many for me to even list right now, but if folks want to see some of the stories that they could come hear at this summit, they should check out our summit schedule at noew.org. We've got over 125 different speakers, most of which are either founders themselves or really have these great stories about how they've been involved in the entrepreneurship community. And we really do think we've got some really amazing content put together this year. So,
oh, no doubt. I was looking at the website both last night and again this morning. Y'all make it so easy to sign up for all of this stuff and to see what's being offered up, especially with NOE in your neighborhood. Y'all label it all so you know exactly what it is. I mean, even a dinosaur like myself can meander through this website without much difficulty.
I appreciate that. That's been a challenge just because there is just so much content, right?
Absolutely.
We've had so many meetings internally about like, wow, how do we really showcase all of these amazing events that are happening over the course of 6 days, basically, right? So I do appreciate that. I'm going to let my marketing team know that they have absolutely killed it on the website.
Absolutely. If this guy can get through and understand it, they've reached the masses for sure.
I'm so glad.
I think this is going to be another really exciting week. It's every year. It's a big, big success. It's grown in popularity. Yeah. Print has been recognized nationally and otherwise. Mm-hmm. Talk briefly about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a story, really. This is like I said, kind of at the top of the call. This is the 14th NOE, and it's evolved in so many different ways, and now really like last year, this summit was one day at Gallier Hall in the middle of the week, and then some events kind of around it. This year, we really took a lot of feedback and really built a lot of this curated content to really make sure that we're hitting all these exciting notes. And then, we're bringing in people from, yes, it's New Orleans Entrepreneur Week, but there's people from all across the state, all across the country, and even, international folks that are coming here specifically for events that are going on throughout the week and really getting this, not only experience New Orleans in the spring, which come on now, but they also get to, really see all of the amazing things happening in this community. Right. So it's exciting. It's exciting to be able to showcase all of this and see how New Orleans is really leading the way in a lot of these industries. Right.
And we've already had, correct me if I'm wrong, ideas mm-hmm. start there. Develop, execute on same, startup, get into business, and get sold for multiples that will rock your world, right?
Yeah.
And they're often running on another idea.
Absolutely, right? That's kind of there's a couple of pieces of content that are happening on Friday on our main stage here at Loyola that's that are some founders who, yes, they got started here, 15 years ago and went through the Idea Village and went through and have been attending NOE for years and years, who, yes, they sold their company for many millions of dollars, and have really, and then now they're like, they're showcasing what they did and helping these other founders here to be able to get that leg up and move forward, right? So it really is about the community, right? It's about being able to highlight the people that have really been able to step up and then how they're then inspiring and educating and helping to connect this whole community together, right?
And you have a bunch of universities involved, Xavier, Loyola, Tulane, and others.
Right. Right. Yeah, and that's been kind of a new partnership this year. You know, we've got this lead partner that we're calling it, Network, that is, you know, us here at Loyola, as well as Tulane, both their Innovation Institute and their LePage Center at the College of Business over there, uptown. You know, Xavier is hosting a couple of really amazing events across the week. And then, you know, UNO, they have their big facility at the beach. They're hosting a big event on Monday at the New Society. It's really that community, too, with the universities and then some of these other partners, too, has just really been a lot of fun, right? Because it's, we all are working to do similar things and really help grow this entrepreneurial community and showcase that to our students. And now being able to bring them all together in this aspect and connect all of them so that we can learn from each other and inspire each other and really showcase what we can do here in New Orleans, you know?
Well, it's a great example of the breadth and depth of the foundation of this, right? And
yeah,
it's nothing but positive because so many great things are happening there, and bringing it all together under this umbrella for this week is really quite an accomplishment and a great thing. Final thoughts, Sam?
Oh, yeah. You know, we're really excited about next week. If folks want to get registered, they can do so for free at noew.org. You know, registration gets you access to the summit on Thursday and Friday next week, as well as gets you connected for all the NOE in your neighborhood events that are happening throughout the week. Full schedule's online. We just posted a couple of more sessions. We have got over 125 speakers that are going to be here on campus next week. So, you know, thank you for having me today to talk about all this. We're really excited about
Absolutely.
It, and we're really just stoked for everything that's going on next week. We hope to see some of y'all out there.
Absolutely. Sam McCabe, Director of Loyola University New Orleans Center for Entrepreneurship and Community Development. Thank you so much for joining us today. Congratulations, and have a great week next week. I hope the turnout is
appreciate it, Newell. Thanks, man. I appreciate
Thank
it. Y'all have a great rest of your day, too. We'll talk to y'all soon. Thanks.
Good deal. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with
me. Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
This. Welcome back, folks. We got some texts from quite a few people talking about started picking up garbage. They were in the parking lot, picked up a piece of garbage. And another person said they picked up a piece of garbage in Gulfport on the walk to his car. Thank you so much for doing the same. I don't know about you, but I think you're going to feel better. I do. Just play my little part, pick up a piece of garbage. That is my goal each and every day, and have been doing it for quite a while now. And it matters. You know, hopefully other people see me do it, and they pick up garbage as well. Little things in life. You know, we've been talking a lot about Doge, and we've been giving you examples of different things that have come up since this started. And interestingly, I came across a piece of a reporter that did an investigation of an organization called the Federal Mediation and Conciliation Service. It is funded. It was created by Congress and funded by the federal government. It occupies a 9-story office tower. Now, there are 230 employees in the agency. But what this reporter found a couple of years ago, and I think he's now turned it over to Doge, and it's probably on the hit list, and more likely than not, it's going to go away. I mean, this is absolutely crazy if this is true, what is going on here. So the reporter says that the managers, their offices have they're like luxury suites with bathrooms and, you know, showers and this, and that's how this thing is designed. And they record themselves because they travel. I mean, they work not necessarily in the office. So the director may live somewhere and record himself as having to be in D.C. for a long period of time. And while they're in D.C. for that period of time, they qualify that as a business trip. So all of the meals and all the living expenses are covered by taxpayers. Yes, you heard me correct. So they do that. So they basically live rent-free, expense-free. And, you know, this agency is, its mission is to serve as a voluntary mediator between unions and businesses. It's an independent agency, small agency, but the abuses here are absolutely unbelievable. The reporter said that they found self-serving violations of hiring, pay, contracting, purchase card rules. He couldn't discover why the agency actually existed, doesn't know whether or not they actually served as a mediator. They had numbers of junkets to resort destinations. And basically, this was to facilitate personal vacations for their families. It was like kind of all a ruse. They were saying that they were going down to these places for marketing purposes to try and get people to know about them, if you can believe that. One top Federal Mediation and Conciliation Service official by the name of George Cohen used a recreation and reception fund. He would order champagne, $200 coasters for his office, purchase artwork painted by his wife. This little agency commissioned paintings of all of its top employees. And one employee told the reporter it was like these were reigning kings or something. And I'd never seen anything like it before. They spent $2,402 retouching the portrait of someone who briefly held the top job in an acting capacity. One employee, so that what they would do is they all had credit cards, government credit cards, and they unblocked the protection so that they could basically charge anything on these cards. And they were funding personal expenses. One employee leased a BMW. Another, the IT director, billed the government for his wife's cell phone, cable TV at home, and his vacation home, and even a subscription to USA Today. Another employee rented a storage unit near his home in rural Virginia, 2 hours from the office where he was supposedly working at, to store personal possessions, photo albums, and alike. Purchases at jewelry store totaling $18,000, and then destroying all of the purchase card records and receipts before they left the agency. One employee, when he retired from the Federal Mediation and Consulting Service, he incorporated an LLC to which another employee of that agency paid him $85,000 using his purchase card, listing it as a call center service. That company had never had a website nor a working phone. It was all a sham. When the accountant Carol Booth blew the whistle on the financial abuses to the General Services Administration, which manages purchase cards and contracting, that she was forced to send an email by her boss rescinding her previous statement. I mean, you just can't make this stuff up. $30,000 on marketing trinkets. They also had an agency office in Hawaii. Their home office, an in-house gym, TVs for the gym, ice makers in the gym, stereos in the gym. Expenses that were actually business-related actually paid for some of the employees' enrollment in grammar classes and listening and memory skills development courses to the tune of $900, $700. And, I mean, the list just goes on and on and on as to what this organization did. They just ran their personal expenses through here like it was crazy. One top of agency official was paid $174,000 a year. His duty station was listed as Iowa so that he could have all of his living expenses and food paid for in D.C. Now, he actually lived in D.C., but in order to scam the system, they put it as Iowa, and therefore he was reimbursed for his food and lodging. This is unbelievable. These people should go to jail. When an employee raised the issue to an agency lawyer, the lawyer told him that they should not raise these issues. It would open a can of worms. This is the kind of stuff that's being, and I said this the other day, one byproduct of DOGE is that other people that know of other things that are going on that have never been looked into, if they have any success at all with DOGE, they're going to be coming out of the woodwork. And this is the classic example of that happening. You know, why are we taxpayers funding a federal mediation and conciliation service, a voluntary, not-for-profit organization to serve as a voluntary mediator between unions and businesses? Really? How about they bear the cost of that? How about the union and the business bear the cost of that? Why are we involved in this transaction at all? This is the classic example when you're talking about scope of what you want the federal government involved in. I mean, this is crazy. They should be lining these people up for the federal penitentiary. It's enough to give you a headache. And then if that's not bad enough, you'll find out that since 1951, which it may have served a purpose in 1951, but it continues on today, you, the taxpayers of the United States of America are funding Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty. Why? They're dealing with issues in allegedly trying to give fair and balanced news in Europe. Europeans deciding what is fair and balanced over there. How does that align with our best interests? Why are we financing this? There's so many different ways to get news. Why would we think that this is going to be the one of choice? And we're financing all of this. So now that they've been put on notice that this is going on the chopping block, of course, what do? We run to the courts, right? You can't bring this gravy train to an end. We have become accustomed to this lifestyle. We provide critical services. Well, prove it. Prove the critical services that you're providing that work in the best interests of this country. Other than the fact that we're financing it and we're paying you and you get a paycheck over there in, I think this place headquarters is in Czechoslovakia, if my memory serves me correct. Read so many of these articles. It's just absolutely incredulous. Yeah, it's in Prague. They're based in Prague. So why aren't Europeans funding this? Well, that's exactly what's happening now. They're reaching out to all of these European countries saying, you know, we provide this critical service. We need to keep this standing up. The U.S. is turning their back on us. The U.S. is turning their back on us. Are we their babysitters? I mean, maybe Donald Trump doesn't articulate it in the right way, but boy, does he have a lot of fodder here. Is there a lot of material? What are we doing? How does this work to our best interests? Let them fund it. Let them run it. It's Radio Free Europe. Now, I understand during the Cold War, there may have been, you know, when the technologies were not as advanced as they are today, that it was a lot easier to connect these dots back then. But here today, in 2025, we really believe that this would be critical infrastructure, critical to the safety and security of our homeland, Radio Free Europe? I don't think so. I don't believe that for a minute. And if they believe that in Europe, then let them finance it. So they're reaching out now to other European nations, and it seems as though the biggest selling point that they have is that we've been around for 75 years. This can't come to an end. Well, why not? If that's so important to Europe, you fund it yourself. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. You know, what's interesting is everyone kind of looks at all of this through the lens of party. Never mentioned party at all as it related to that story. That organization has been around since 1951. Talked about how it may have been of some value and use in 1951. What this is emblematic of is a number of things. But first, let me read this text. I know you're smart enough to realize that the overwhelming majority of federal civil servants enjoy nothing close to the nonsense you're describing. We work out of cubicles according to very strict rules. DOGE is demonizing the rank and file. Now, DOGE is not demonizing the rank and file. The rank and file is demonizing the rank and file. Because each and every one of you know about all of these abuses that are going on. You may not be one of the abusers, but you know who the abusers are within your organization. And you were very comfortable sitting back and doing nothing about it. And neither were a lot of other people. That's how the bureaucracy grows and survives. Is an untalked about incestuous culture that develops within an organization. We just talked about all kinds of abuses in the New Orleans Police Department. You don't think other people knew? They all knew. They never said anything. They never brought it to the forefront. It isn't DOGE demonizing you. These organizations have allowed themselves to run amok for decades. Don't blame DOGE for pointing out the obvious. If an auditor comes in and finds all of this stuff, you're going to blame the auditor? It's no different. I love this. DOGE has no legal authority to take care of these issues. Says who? They're just making observations and making recommendations to the executive branch of government, who does, by the way, under the Constitution, have the legal authority to take care of these issues. Oh, and by the way, that organization you spoke about existed during Trump's first term. Yeah, he missed it. He missed it. It may be why he's gone about doing what he's doing this time, because he doesn't want to be browbeat by the bureaucracy, who don't want any of this to go away. They want this to keep going and to keep perpetuating itself and to keep covering personal expenses at the taxpayers' cost over and over and over again. This doesn't mean that all federal civil service employees, all federal employees are criminals. It doesn't mean that. What this means is that this exercise has meaning, not unlike every other audit exercise. I remember when Sheriff Harry Lee asked me if I wanted to be the CFO of the organization. He called me in the office, and I said, I would love that opportunity and challenge. I have one request. And he says, what's that? I said, I want it to be approved and authorized for me to hire an internal auditor, because I think that is what it takes to be successful, one of the tools necessary to be successful as a CFO. Thankfully, I had a good one who made my job so easy on so many different fronts. It was crazy. But we knew where the areas were where we had the most risk, because how we had to set up internal controls. And we ensured that we would go audit that area. And sure enough, we found problems. We charged people criminally. We went about, I'm not talking about anything I haven't done myself, made very difficult decisions. People I knew, their families, knew their kids. It doesn't matter. You can't let it exist. It will eat you alive. And it grows like a cancer. This isn't Doge's problem. It's amazing that people, you know, oh, the Doge exercises peanuts. Really? How do you know that? If you change the culture of the bureaucracy, that's peanuts. If you put in internal controls and you put in, which is going to come later, hopefully, to make sure that these things reveal themselves in a more expeditious fashion, that's not peanuts. That's a big accomplishment. Just take Trump's face off of it for a moment. Put Obama's face on it, whoever you want to put. Biden, it doesn't really matter. It is a worthwhile exercise. And just as I predicted, this exercise by Doge is going to give confidence to others that know exactly what's going on in their respective agencies, and the whistleblowers will be lining up. They will cover the parade grounds in Washington, D.C. The line will be so long, and you're already seeing it. You're already seeing it. And instead of those people being punished and being frowned upon, they're going to have somebody that's going to listen to them and take action. And guess what? You're going to root out waste, fraud, and abuse. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.